And we were talking last week about the laying on of hands, and it wasn't necessarily just because we've been dealing with some extra virus. I say extra because, you know, viruses are going around us all the time. Notice I say going around. They go around us if we use our faith. And we understand there's no condemnation if somebody is dealing with symptoms, of course. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4, but that's why we're here. Whether you're dealing with symptoms or not, we want to beef ourselves up in the Word of God, because where there's knowledge, then we get revelation. As we meditate on God's Word, then we get revelation of His Word. And that revelation or that understanding, if we will act on that, and I call it faith's understanding of the heart, if we will act on that and believe that we receive our healing, our health, whatever we need, then God will bring that into our life through His power. Amen? And really, the power of God that lives within us heals us. And you could even say this: we have already been healed by Jesus' stripes. It's just a matter of applying or drawing from that power of God within. But we've been talking about the anointing that was on Jesus. And during His earthly ministry, we're to follow. Jesus would preach, teach, and heal. And He would lay hands on the sick. He would deliver people from demonic oppression. He would cast out devils. Whatever it took for people to receive their freedom, that anointing broke that bondage. And today, let's read in Luke chapter 4. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me." In verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty of captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice there we have a threefold redemption. Jesus came to heal. He came to deliver from poverty. He came to minister to the hurting. But he came to forgive us. So we have a threefold redemption, and that is we've been redeemed from spiritual death. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed from sickness and disease. We've been redeemed from poverty and lack. Any of things, if you have symptoms, already paid the price for. And we're talking specifically about the anointing that Jesus ministered. Luke said in Acts chapter 10:38 how Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The Holy Ghost was upon Jesus, and that same Spirit lives inside of you and lives inside of me if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord. But back in Jesus' day, the Holy Ghost had not yet come into the heart of man. Now, the Holy Ghost would come on people, such as the king and the priest. And, of course, we see in Jesus' ministry, although Jesus at that time wasn't looked upon as a king or a priest, the anointing of God came upon him. And he really had a fivefold anointing on him. Or he had the anointing of the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. He was anointed with the Spirit without measure. Whereas we today, as ministers, we're not anointed with the Spirit without measure. There's different gifts, and there's different, and some of us, just like Jesus, sent out His disciples two by two, and even the 70 two by two, and He commissioned them to go and do likewise, and He delegated power to them. Or that special, tangible anointing, the same anointing that He ministered Himself and laid hands Himself with. So we see that in some ministers' lives. But how many know, if you don't know a pastor or a minister that has a tangible healing anointing, we're still supposed to, according to Mark's chapter 16, and also according to James chapter 5, we're supposed to lay hands on the sick. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And that word save means to deliver. And they would use oil as a point of contact, not necessarily because they were anointed, but they would use oil in a small little vial, and they would take that oil and put it on the head of the person, anoint them with oil. Even in one passage, it talks about the disciples would anoint with oil. So that was as a point of contact. But notice here, whether a minister has a special tangible anointing to lay hands on the sick, they still are supposed to lay hands in faith. And laying hands on the sick with the tangible anointing still is laying hands with faith, but it's ministering anointing. Whereas the minister who's ministering the anointing, they minister by faith, and they teach the person who receives to receive by faith. And then also, you can just pray the prayer of faith, or you could just ask in faith, or you can just claim in faith what you already have in redemption. But regardless, we need to use our faith, whether receiving from a tangible healing anointing like Jesus' ministry there, or some pastor or a minister that has that tangible anointing, or rather receiving gifts of the Spirit, or just receiving anything from God, we receive it by faith. And you can see that young people in the Lord, or even those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they'll get things without their faith much more than somebody that's been knowing these things for several years. You understand? God expects us to use our faith, but those who are young in the Lord, and we see that in Jesus' day, don't we? We see that he laid hands on people, and they all received. But let me tell you something. We can lay hands on the sick and they can all receive. But many times the reason they don't, because you have people that have been hearing this message for years, but they won't use their faith. And even in Jesus' day, there were places like his own hometown of Nazareth where he laid hands on the sick and they didn't receive, just maybe a few ailments, or you know, maybe the flu or something, maybe coronavirus. They just received in faith. Or they received because they didn't have, they did not receive because they didn't have faith, but just a few ailments were healed because those people did have faith, is what I'm trying to say. But there are places in the Bible that said Jesus laid hands on them all and they all received. So it's not necessarily, let's look at it this way. You can have a greater anointing. Now, Jesus was anointed without measure, but ministers can have a greater anointing, but they still have to use their faith, and the people that are coming must use their faith, but the more anointing, the less faith. Does that make sense? The more anointing, the less faith. So I take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. I take time to get before the Father. I take time, you know, on my way here, I was just praying in the Spirit and preparing my heart because I want to provide, and I stand in that, on the office that I stand in, there's an endowment of that tangible healing anointing on my life, and I can minister to the sick with the laying on of hands. And there's also some gifts of the Spirit that I've readily flowed in, not all the time, 24/7, but there are some gifts of the Spirit that follow that pastoral office. There are some gifts of the Spirit that follow the office that Pastor Jay and I walk in, and sometimes words of knowledge. Sometimes I'll know that that a person is dealing with a particular sickness and disease, and I'll call that out and have them come up. Now, understand that if they're young in the Lord or they're not even saved, it really takes little faith on their part. But what we've seen over the years, and according to the Word of God, that we still teach them to receive from that gift of the Spirit. We call them up, even though we know what it is by the Spirit, they still need to receive by their own faith. So that was a little synopsis there. And there's other gifts of the Spirit, that tongues, interpretation of tongues that Pastor Jay and I flow in. And other things as well. Praise the Lord. But we're not necessarily here to talk about that. We're going to eventually mainly emphasize according to your faith. And that's where we left off last week. But let's read something here. Again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now let's go back up to verse 16 of Luke 4. And it says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. Jesus' custom was to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he read, and he would go to the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he would teach on the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And he obviously taught them how to receive that anointing by faith. He also taught other subjects that had to do with faith, Because we know that the different accounts of healings in Jesus' ministry, 75% of them required the person's faith. In other words, they received by faith. So Jesus taught faith. And there's different ways that we can receive, but we have to receive by faith, don't we? There's different ways that we can minister to people, but through them we teach them how to receive by faith. Does that make sense? Different ways to minister, such as the anointing, or such as the prayer of agreement, or we could just speak in faith, or speak to that thing in Jesus' name, or by a gift of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, or the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is just seeing something that will happen in the future. But a word of knowledge can deal with a sickness and disease. A gift of healing, special faith. Special faith basically is when faith comes on the minister to speak to that thing, and you see the miraculous many times. Praise the Lord. So we can minister gifts of the Spirit to people, but whatever we do, we need to teach them it's according to your faith. And we've done the church a misjustice by coming in and simply just hoping that we have a gift of the Spirit, or hoping that there's a strong, tangible anointing because we've spent time in prayer. But then we don't teach them to receive by faith, and we don't teach them to keep it by faith. Therefore, they're just dependent on the minister rather than the Word of God. So we've done a disservice to people. Now, I want you very quickly to understand again, Jesus taught the anointing for threefold redemption. We have freedom from what? What did we talk about earlier? Spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. Amen? Basically, just deliverance from whatever you need. So the anointing or power of God would come on the priest and the king in the Old Testament, but Jesus was not a king or priest in the eyes of the people, but we know that he was God who came down to man, and through his blood and bruised body, we have redemption. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is our great high priest. Amen. And what is the anointing? It's the divine power of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the life of God that lives inside of us. And that same anointing that was on Christ can come on ministers as well to minister through that tangible anointing. Zechariah 4:6 says, "He answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Not by might or power, or not by people's natural strength, but it's by the power of God. Isaiah 10:27 says, "It shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and this yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." And that's talking about the yoke-destroying power of God. And that anointing was on Jesus. And we see that in Jesus' earthly ministry, again, it consisted of teaching, preaching, and healing the sick. Amen? Well, praise God. I'm glad you're excited today. I can see it on your faces. Well, not really, but I'm expecting. Amen? So we're supposed to follow Jesus' example, aren't we? Whether we possess a special healing anointing or not, that's what we've been talking about, when we receive Christ into our hearts, we have the same anointing that Jesus ministered with, the divine power of God to heal and set us free that lives within our heart. And because of Christ's earthly healing ministry and his redemptive work on the cross, many Christian sons and daughters would not take this same anointing and follow Jesus. They would now take the same anointing and follow Jesus' example of preaching, teaching, and healing. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're excited today. I said, I'm glad you're excited today. Amen. So let's read a few scriptures here before we move on, because we kind of left off with these the other day. In Matthew 8, 14 through 17. Matthew 8, 14 through 17. I like this version a little better. When Jesus ministered to Peter's mother-in-law, while you're going there, let's get a drink. It's good to drink water. Water's good for you. You ought to drink at least 2.5 liters a day. That's a good advertisement for Evian. Moving right along. Next week we'll talk about Fiji, okay? Well, praise the Lord. Moving right along. I hope you're awake. In verse 14, now when Jesus, where'd you go? Matthew 8, right? Verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever, so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he called out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Let's read Mark 1's account. Let's read Mark 1's account. So Mark 1, verse 29. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Notice, this was a lady who had a fever. How many today don't want to touch a person with a fever, let alone lift them up? So we have to use the wisdom of God, okay? We're not just going around touching people with fevers. But understand, Jesus had an anointing, and he had a witness of the Spirit of God that he needed to minister to this lady. So we have to follow wisdom when we're laying on of hands. It says in one scripture, don't lay hands hastily. Paul told Timothy, don't lay hands hastily. You know, we've laid hands on people over the year. We've had healing lines over the years where the Lord dealt with both Pastor Jay and myself at different times. Don't lay hands on this particular person. It may have been that their heart wasn't right, or it just may have been for other reasons. I remember one person that the Lord dealt with Pastor Jay not to lay hands on was a man, and he was very overweight. Not that we pick on people who are overweight. I mean, I'm not necessarily the skinniest girl around, okay? I'm not putting down people. But anyway, he dealt with him, don't lay hands. And then he got a revelation. This man, you know, the man had a back problem, and he had a revelation. It's the weight that's causing that back problem. And he dealt with him. Before you lay hands on him, you're going to have to tell him that back problem's from his weight. Well, how many times we don't want, you know, here we are faith people. We can just live on air and water. You know, we don't have to do anything in the natural. Well, that's stupid, isn't it? Well, whatever, if there's a natural thing that's causing something, we need to know the natural causes. And that's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God. But for some reason there at that time, and we've all been there, done that, my husband Jay just said he was too embarrassed to do that, so he just laid hands on him and walked on. It's like the anointing just flew out the window. So we have to be obedient, okay? We have to be obedient. We've got to do those things. And I've done the same thing, so I'm not condemning my husband. I'm just telling you a story there. There was a man who came to our service, and he wasn't of the right spirit, and he came up and he wanted to shake hands with me, and I wouldn't shake hands with him, and I basically, you know, told the ushers, you need to stay close by, because, you know, I was ready to take this man out. Anyway, moving right along. I thought I'd wake you up there. Okay, there are certain things I know to do that I can defend myself, okay, and I will do it if I have to, but the ushers are close by, and you know, and we have angels, right? I'm just trying to wake y'all up, okay? All right, moving right along. And you know, we carry our Winchester around. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Moving right along. I don't have one with me, so praise the Lord. It's at home. All right. So, he came and took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and she had a fever. All right? And what happened? She was healed. Now let's go to, I'm in different form today. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And we'll start there. And we're talking about Jesus cleanses a leper. Now this really went against their theology at the time. You understand? Because in Leviticus, you know, you weren't supposed to touch a leper. You weren't supposed to. Well, why weren't you supposed to touch a leper? Well, let me tell you why. I looked it up. Leprosy is spread between people. Although extensive contact is necessary, in other words, it doesn't take a lot. Only about 95% of people who contract leprosy do not develop disease. Spread is thought to occur through a cough or contact with fluid from the nose. Well, does that sound familiar? Well, moving right along, they didn't think that was a big deal. Well, praise the Lord. In this day and age, we don't see lepers quarantined other than maybe some places in India and so on, but they have a cure for it. Generally, in the natural, it can take about 6 months. Of course, by the power of God, the power of God can heal that person. Amen. But if a leper, it's a bacterial disease that if they cough and that disease gets airborne or the fluid gets on somebody, then that bacteria, if the person's immune system is compromised, it can get on that person and they can get that. That sounds pretty familiar with some of the things we're dealing with today, right? But you don't see leper colonies all around. And we just have to be careful that we're not coughing all over people. We just have to be careful that we're not touching our face. And you know, because we're reading it on the signs, everywhere you go, wash your hands, okay? Thank you for letting me know to wash my hands. I appreciate that. So, moving right along. Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded. So Jesus was here to heal the sick. He didn't ask the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Really, Jesus was a fulfillment of the law. He brought healing and wholeness through him. So through his blood is broken by ceremonial cleansing laws that they had to go through. But Jesus told that leper, don't go tell everybody. Don't go spreading it all around. Just go do what you need to do. So he's trying to conform to the rules of the day, you understand. In verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So you see now that the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and others came and traveled great distances just so that they could see what was going on, and they were getting upset at Jesus. But also, people heard lepers were getting healed there. Some just wanted to, they didn't like what Jesus was doing, and they were looking at a way to put him in jail, but then others were receiving from his ministry. Praise the Lord. So just moving along here, let's go to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 17, Luke 5, 17, praise the Lord. Are you there yet? It happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal who? To heal them. But notice here, by the end of the story, only him got healed, but the power was for them. You understand? In verse 18, why was that? Well, faith was the issue, and we see that by what Jesus said. Behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, well, the man got healed. Who else's faith? The men that brought him. So he had some faith friends that brought him to church, set him, you know, in front of Jesus, tore off the roof, set him in front of Jesus, and Jesus saw their faith through that action. He said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they had a problem with that, but Jesus could forgive sins. Let's go on down to verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.'" But notice that he saw their faith. So it was according to their faith. Now you understand, Jesus talking about him forgiving sin. Sin really, through sin, the curse came in. You understand? And we need to be forgiven of our sins. But through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you were forgiven from sin. But at the same time, we receive healing. We receive prosperity. We receive the blessing of the Lord. So Jesus was able to forgive sin there, and he was going to the cross. Jesus came down as a man, but he was every bit God, and he went to the cross, and he took our sins. That's spiritual death, and we're forgiven. He took our sicknesses. He took our pains. Amen? He took our poverty and lack. Praise God. So sometimes sickness can enter in because of sin or not doing right, but mainly what I've seen over the years is sickness entering in because somebody's not walking in love, somebody's not fulfilling the plan of God, not discerning the local church, coming to church and being around other believers, helping in helps ministry, and that doesn't mean you got to be helping in every area of the church, you understand. Not discerning the brothers and sisters by walking in love. But there are other things. The curse causeless does not come. There's a scripture along that line. There are other natural things that we need to do. And again, I like to say it this way, just like I said before, and it's important to say this, we don't just live on bread and water, okay? And there are natural things that we need to do for our bodies. There are natural things that we need to use godly wisdom, and he'll show you. And I'm not the Holy Ghost to you, and you're not the Holy Ghost to me, so don't come up to me and say you shouldn't be doing this, 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 and this. Now, we do know if you're smoking, that's going to limit your life capacity. We do know if there are other things that you're doing. But understand, I'm not going to come tell you not to drink coffee, all right? The Lord recently, it was about a month ago, started dealing with me not to drink coffee. And I'm like, Lord, I like coffee. And I tried low-acid coffee. I tried half and half coffee. I tried everything. And finally, I said, okay, Lord, I just won't drink any more coffee. And as I was studying it out, coffee is very acidic. And I'm endeavoring to get my body to more of an alkaline, because your body should be more alkaline than acidic. If you don't know about that, go on Google. I'm not teaching on that today, okay? So Dad Hagen talked about when he was just a young boy. You see, we're talking about according to your faith, and things that will hinder your faith is if you're not using, well, Lord, why is it not working? Well, use wisdom, okay? And be led by the Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8, and it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. So don't be just listening to your body all the time. Use wisdom, godly wisdom. Notice something. Back, you know, I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but just deal with it, okay? Just understand this. Back in Jesus' day, they were coming out from out of the Levitical law, and back in that day and time, they ate so much better than what we eat today. And today you've got genetically modified food, you got sugar out the ears, you've got gluten, you've got all kind of things, and a lot of people don't know about this, and then they get diabetes, and you lay hands on them, and they're asking, well, why didn't I get healed? Well, first of all, are you using your faith? In other words, did you receive the healing anointing? Are you walking in love? Are you fulfilling the plan of God? Are you discerning your local church? Yes, I've done all those things. Okay, are you eating right and taking your vitamins? Okay? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're all excited about that. Well, what does that have to do with it? It's godly wisdom. That's what it has to do with. And there's too many things that we can get on Google. There are too many things that are good, solid books out there that we can learn about our bodies and eating right. And God will, if you'll just pray and say, Lord, show me what I need to know. Just show me what I need to know. But if you're like me and you just, okay, Lord, can I at least, I'll drink half and half, okay? I mean, you just do everything. I like coffee. Well, and then I just went to the store and I found a coffee alternative. It's not coffee, but it's something else. I don't know what it is, but I hope it's good. Or I haven't tried it yet, but praise the Lord. So let's just use wisdom. And let's do things that are healthy for our bodies. I've been changing a lot of things lately because I'm just endeavoring to use wisdom. And if we're just drinking soda pops all day long, you know, eating sugar all day long and then wondering why we're dealing with sickness and disease, well, that sugar is growing fungus and you're out your ears, okay? You understand that? So just study up on it. The only reason that sometimes as ministers we have to talk about these things, because the curse causeless does not come to everything. If natural things as well. What am I doing? What am I putting in my mouth? You know, and really, Jesus said it's not the things that go into your mouth that matters. It's what comes out. What are you saying? What are you saying? Okay? They tried to get on to him and his disciples because they weren't washing their hands. Okay? You don't necessarily want to read this one, but it's in the Bible. They weren't washing their hands before they ate. Well, washing their hands was a ceremonial thing that came about from the elders. It wasn't from the Levitical law. And the washing of hands represented that they were pure before the Lord. You understand? There's nothing wrong with washing your hands. As a matter of fact, I'd appreciate it if you did wash your hands. But what Jesus is saying there, what he's saying, I don't know, I guess I have the annoying anointing or the funny anointing, either one. Take it or leave it. Well, praise the Lord. I guess you can always click off, but I wish you would stay there because we love you. Amen? What were we talking about before we started meddling? I'd appreciate it if you wash your hands. I do know we were talking about that. But just use godly wisdom. And Jesus was saying it's more important about what you're saying. In other words, are you talking sickness and disease all the time? Did you have hands laid on you and you receive, but then you're saying, I don't know what's the problem. I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I'm sick. What's wrong with that? If you received healing and health, if you believe that you're the healed of the Lord because Jesus Christ died for you, why are you saying you're sick? Or if you come to me and say, could you lay hands? I've got the flu. This is my flu. So I'm basically going to say to you, why do I need to lay hands on you? You know, it's your flu. I don't want to take your flu. In other words, if you come to me and say, look, the symptoms of flu have come on me, and would you agree with me or would you minister the anointing that this flu is driven out of my body? Okay, well, I'll do that. But if you're claiming that the flu is yours, if you're talking about sickness and disease, if you're talking about flu season and all that, I can't do a thing for you, okay? But let's use godly wisdom. Now, we're talking, it's according to your faith. And whatever you're not doing in godly wisdom or when you're not following what God's word said, when you're not believing that you receive by faith and also you're not doing the things that the Spirit, what I'm trying to say, if you're not doing the things that the Spirit of God is dealing with you to do, then it will hinder your faith. So you've got to believe that you receive, whether that tangible healing anointing is ministered to you or whether you just receive by raw faith, so to speak, believe that you receive, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the prospered of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. Believe that you receive that. That's what you've been for the, you know, Jesus took your sickness 2,000 years ago. We are the healed of the Lord. We are the healed of the Lord. I'm not trying to get healed. Just like you put if you put a car in the garage, that car is still a car. Put it this way, if you don't put gas in the car will stop running, but it's still a car. And you've got to use your gas, so to speak. You've got to use that heavenly gas. You've got to use the divine power of God. And if you're not using the power of God, inside of you, you're still the healed of the Lord. Just like that car is still a car, but it doesn't have gas, so it can't run. You need to do the things that will run your body. And one thing is receiving that you are the healed of the Lord. Receive the power of God. Take hold either of that tangible anointing, be ministered to you by that minister or a gift of the Spirit or whatever, however, but take hold of it by faith, or just simply go to the Father in prayer and say, Father, I'm asking you for health and healing in my body. Now, really, we don't have to go ask for it because it's already ours, but it's, he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And so you just receive by faith. You just go to the Lord in prayer and you receive by faith, right? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you got excited about that. All right. So we're going to go to another scripture here. Let's go to Matthew 9:27. Matthew 9:27. I know I'm meddling a lot today, but we all need it sometimes. You know, we've been praying that God would help us and give us answers. Well, our answers are right before us if we would listen. Amen. So Matthew 9:27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? So what we ask you today, do you believe that the power of God is within you? Just like Jesus asked that man, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Jesus isn't here today. You're there on the other side of that camera, and I'm here, but the anointing is present to heal you. The anointing is in the atmosphere. The anointing is within you. Do you believe that that anointing is here for healing and wholeness in your body? Jesus, they said to him, yes, Lord. So they believed. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. He touched their eyes. And I'm saying to you, I'm just going to ask you, if you need something in your body today, I'm just going to ask you to just simply raise your hand up. And don't be afraid to do that in front of your other family. Just raise your hand up toward that camera and say, yes, Pastor Debbie, I need something today. So I would say to you, according to your faith, be it unto you. Tumors, be healed. Sicknesses and diseases, be healed. Lung problems, be healed. The anointing of God, go and minister to people today and minister health and healing to them right now in the name of Jesus. Just say, I receive it by faith. And take hold of that and go your way thanking God that you're healed and whole. I said, go your way thanking God that you're healed and you're whole. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. Praise God. We know, let's turn very quickly to Mark 11. Mark 11. Let's explore this area of according to your faith just a little more. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Notice there, number one, Jesus is saying you can speak to things. You can speak to mountains. You can speak to sickness and disease. You can speak to the devil when he brings destruction. And you can tell those things to go in Jesus' name. Or you can just simply go to the Father in prayer and say, Father, I'm asking you for healing and health. I'm asking you for strength in my body. I'm asking you for prosperity or any specific thing that you need. Lord, I'd like a raise of $5 an hour. I'm talking about $5 more an hour. Praise the Lord. I'd like a raise. Maybe it's 50 cents. Maybe it's $5. Maybe it's $10. I'd like a new job. You can go to the Lord in prayer. But you need something, then you can either speak to it with the command of faith, just like Jesus said to say to this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that whatsoever you say shall come to pass. Then it will. It'll take place in your life. And we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And that's what Paul encouraged them. And very quickly, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise God. And in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul encouraged them, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So we've got to go our way, just like a few minutes ago when I ministered to you that anointing and you received it by faith for whatever need was in your body. At that time and place, you received by faith. Now go your way thanking God you're healed and whole. I said, go your way thanking God that you're healed and whole. Yeah, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't see that anything took place. Well, faith doesn't look at what it feels and what it sees. It says in verse 7, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by our physical senses. And just what we were talking about there, what you do is you believe that you receive, you go your way, you thank God for it, just like Abraham. He was strengthened in faith there in Romans chapter 4. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Because Sarah couldn't have a child, he wasn't able to give her a child, but he gave glory to God. And it almost took a full year before they saw the manifestation of a child, but the child came, didn't it? Isaac came. Amen. We've seen people here in this congregation. We had one couple who have a testimony, and they have their, I believe their testimony's up on our site. Yeah. What would that be under? Well, it's on YouTube, and what's it under? Just look for Matt and Katie Warner's testimony, I guess, on YouTube. And how they had twin boys, and then they had a son after that. And they weren't able to have children for several years. But they believed that they received, and it was a period of time, but they didn't give in. They endured in their faith, and now they have three beautiful boys. Amen? Abraham kept thanking God, and according to his faith, it was given unto him a beautiful young boy, Isaac. Praise God. What do you need today? We prayed with you there. We ministered that anointing to you. And in the future, if you need anything, all you have to do is say, Father, I just receive by faith. And go your way thanking God, speaking out what you believe, and don't give in to the enemy's lies that you're not healed and whole. And you might just say, I've been standing on this for a year and just nothing's happened. Are you walking in love? Are you discerning the local body? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in love with your spouse? You get angry at them every time they do something. I'm just saying, it says be angry and sin not, but we need to be sweet to our spouses. So don't be a bully to your spouse, okay? That just was for somebody. Are you doing the natural things? Are you using godly wisdom? We don't live on, air alone, okay? We have to eat food and eat the right foods, not cake all day long. Just use wisdom. We were talking about some of these things, but it's according to your faith. And if there's something that's hindering your faith, the curse causeless does not come. There's a reason for that. All you have to do is say, Lord, I need to know what it is. Now, don't give up your healing and health that you believe that you received. Don't lay down the fact that you are the healed of the Lord. But you can ask God if there's a reason that the answer hasn't come. You can ask God if there's a reason the manifestation hasn't come to you, but don't give up your faith. In Jesus' name, go your way and be healed and live a flourishing, thriving life in Him because we are walking by the knowledge of God's Word. We're believing that we receive, and daily we're thanking God that we are the healed of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.